Hi, I'm Tom Parker from Parker & Associates with Notes Page. Today we're talking with Jim Endicott again. Jim is the president of Distinction Communication in Portland, Oregon. He's a nationally recognized executive presentation coach and industry consultant who helps his customers tell their important stories more effectively. Jim and his team work with client companies ranging from several of Intel's top executives to small business startups and about everything in between. Today, Jim and I are going to be talking about the topic of the sticky factor. Four principles for maximizing presentation impact. I'm trying to remember now a presentation that I sat through last week, and for the life of me, most of it I can't recall. Why don't some messages stick better with audiences?
Well, I think part of the reason is that when presenters are creating presentations, they use the absolute very worst approach for impact and retention. And here's what I mean by that. If we understand kind of the psychology of influence and how our brains work, and then we look at the presentations we sit through. Information that is presented in the form of like text and charts and graphs, that kind of intellectualized material, it's all processed on the left side of our brain. And, you know, why do we care what side of the brain it's processed on? Well, we care because the left side of the brain is predominantly short-term memory, very defense-intensive, and also has very low motivation value. So we contrast that with a presenter who is using stories or very sensory-rich information or getting people to get up and interact and discuss on a topic. Well, this is very different. This is more relational, emotional material, and it's processed on the right side of the brain. And the difference is the right side of the brain is responsible for long-term memory, so it creates motivation for action. People remember it longer. I remember a few months ago I came across a guy in the airport, and he says, Jim, hey, I remember sitting through one of your seminars about 8 years ago in Atlanta. I says, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. He says, yeah, you had that beach ball that you hit out into the audience, and you were making a point, and I remember what that point was today. So there's a great example of how right brain stimulus really fosters retention.
It sounds like if we just all told stories for an hour, people would remember what we said.
We definitely need to be better storytellers, okay? But we also need to change up the approaches we use so it's interesting, it's different. There's another psychological principle called habituation, and that just simply means that when the stimulus doesn't change, let's say it's all bullet slides, or it's all a very monotone delivery, or it's all stories and nothing else, our brains tend to check out. They can't glob onto things where the stimulus isn't changing often. So we need to understand that we really need a balance in our communication. We need to be good storytellers. But also, most often, factual information is used to justify decisions. So there really is a place for data and facts. We just need to be a lot more creative in how we explore those things. And that's what makes us balanced communicators. And unfortunately, today, too many presenters aren't.
It's a little bit of that old variety is the spice of life principle.
Exactly.
Okay, so you promised us four simple principles for maximizing the impact of our presentations. Let's hear them.
Okay, here we go. Principle number one, before you lead an audience anywhere, you must first come alongside them. Now, such a powerful concept. I want you to think for a second, Tom, of the people who have been most influential in your life. And I'm guessing it's not the subject matter expert on the infomercial or some disembodied voice in a web presentation. It's usually people that we've come to know, people who have shared experiences with us. Because audiences need to engage with you, the presenter, before they will engage with your message, and we forget that. So how are they going to get to know us? Well, there's a vehicle of personal story, shared experiences that we've had, being vulnerable with my audience. And that's what builds the bridges that allows me to come alongside them in a presentation. Principle number two, make your audience participants and not spectators. Believe me, they will gladly become spectators and disengage if you give them the opportunity. So what I like to do is get them up on their feet interacting around their topic. For instance, what I may do is say, I'd like everybody up on your feet and let's talk about your first big presentation experience, talk to the person next to you, then we'll discuss it when we're done. So what this does is I'm doing a couple things here. I'm creating the context for the presentation that I'm about to deliver, and it gets them interacting, gives them some skin in the game, so they're participants and not spectators. Okay, principle number three, Tom, relevancy more than repetition. Now, we've all heard the old adage of what you got to do is you got to tell them what you're going to tell them, you got to tell them, and then you got to tell them what you told them. But there's one thing wrong with that. Interest in the information that you're telling them, it's not going to stick. So it's just like a lot of those old wives' tales. We've got to take a little deeper look. So how do we find common ground with the group? Well, I gave you one idea. You know, when we talk about our first big presentation experience, see if we can find some shared experience. Or what I may do is get a group of people up talking about their most frustrating presentation experience. So then I unpack it with the group. We let people share their stories. And what I'm doing there is playing into what psychologists call the attribution theory. What I'm doing is attributing attributes to that group that they all share in common. So I may say, you know what, it looks like even though there's a lot of different job titles in this room, we share some common ground in our frustration with this process. That, when we can show them the common ground, what that does is it gives us an opportunity to move them all ahead together as a group, even though they're very different. Principle number four, here's the last one. It's rarely what you say, but it is how you say it. So what do? We spend, 90% of our preparation time on creating our messages, and then it seems like the delivery part is kind of an afterthought. So this approach creates presentations that are very content-heavy, you know, a lot of bullets, a lot of intellectual-type material, and typically very poorly delivered presentations, which are very forgettable presentations. In a survey we did of our database back in December of last year, over 86% of the people who responded said, you know what, solid presentation skills affect their career and income. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. That's quite a validation. But then later on in the survey, about 70% of them said that they received little or no constructive feedback. That's crazy. Something that it impacts us so directly and so substantially and so financially is something that we receive very little feedback in. So if Alfred Morabian's research years and I guess it was decades ago meant anything, he was saying that the nonverbal part of communication, not the raw message itself, is what drives communication deeper. And when there's conflict in those stimulus, people will default to the nonverbal stuff. So we typically don't practice delivery often enough. So I want to encourage your audience today to find a good presentation coach that can take you to the next level in your delivery skills.
Let me just take a wild guess here. I think the Distinction offers those kind of presentation skills workshops around the country.
Funny you should ask, Tom. Actually, we do. If people are interested, they can hit our website at distinction-services.com.
Thanks, Jim. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Jim Endicott with Distinction Communication over the next few weeks, so stay tuned. For more information on Distinction and what they do, check out their website at distinction-services.com. That's distinction-services.com. And while you're there, you'll get a lot out of their podcasts and blogs. Until next time, this is Tom Parker with Notes Page.